Chapter 10. Spoiler. Restore Me by Tahereh Mafi. For this spoiler episode, we will focus on the key moments of Restore Me, as well as giving special attention to Aaron Warner Anderson and to the newly added characters such as Nazira and Haider, and especially wondering what Tahereh Mafi is keeping from us. My name is Nesma. Turn the page. Welcome to another chapter of Between the Pages. My name is Nesma.
And my name is Hanin. We're your hosts, and let's
talk about Restore Me. So, for this spoiler episode, we're just gonna go through the key major points of the story, like from Warner getting his haircut to the moment that Juliet killed all the people in like the very end of the novel.
That was
mind-blowing.
Yes, I was like, what? Again, I reread this part and I'm like, did I get it right? Like, all of them are dead.
I was like, we just reread the scene just a couple minutes ago, and I was like, there were like details that like I've completely forgot. This book had so many ups and downs. Like, in the non-spoiler, we already talked about, like, the many disappointments and, like, the things that we didn't like. But I think in this episode, we should leave, like, all the negativity behind.
Yeah.
Or maybe just talk about, like, the characters.
Like, not the negativity. Like, Aslan, the fact that we have this book, we've gone back to the series. And, yeah. Like, it's been one of the
closest to our hearts. Yeah. Like, one of the most amazing. And I think it was, like, read at the perfect age. Like, we were, like... How many years old were we? Like 15 or 16?
No. We were Juliet's age. 17.
We were 17, yes. I think. Yeah, we were like 17. And now we're like 21 and 22. So that was a couple years ago, you know? And we read the book immediately after it came out. Mm. And we were like completely interested in what's going to happen to these characters. Like...
And it was a great start. Like, yeah. The first couple of pages were amazing. It was so funny.
Like the moment where he Kenji is just so...
Juliet, it's not my fault. The first thing you need to know is wasn't my fault.
And when he came in and he had the gun to Kenji's head and then he just winked at Juliet, was like, there he is.
Yeah.
Our Warner.
I mean, the last time we've seen them, the last moment we had with them was on the top of the compound building.
Yeah.
After she worried that he something happened to him and she can't see him, but he came up and they were like, they had this embrace and he was like, the whole world will be coming for you now. And she was like, hey, let them try or something.
I would like to see them try, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I think the most important thing that people wanted to see in this book is the relationship between Warner and Juliet and how it's going to develop,
you know? Yes, it was amazing and Ignite Me. It was just the start and we wanted to see how this would go. Like, they were perfect for each other. So exactly. We want to see this perfection. Yeah.
But, you know, we completely forgot how broken of a character Warner actually is. Yes. And how much shit he went through when he was younger, you know? Like,
but with Warner, we only got the small novella part in Unite Me, Destroy Me. And, like, Juliet was literally destroying him without she being there, you know? Without her being there, I mean.
It was all in his head, And I think, like, right now, he's, like, being unraveled all over again, you know? Like, all the pain and all the suffering that he actually went through, you know? Like, from our perspective, before we knew him in Restore Me, in our minds, he's, like, this perfect guy for Juliet, you know? Like, they're so good together. It's like, no, there's more to the story. You don't just have, like, a heartfelt moment, you know? And then just everything is roses and unicorns, you know? Like, rainbows
and
unicorns.
Especially in the past, was more of what was Warner giving to Juliet.
Yes.
Like, he was getting her out of her shell. He was all that we know.
Yeah, and now it's like, what does Warner need out of this relationship, you know? But it's not more like what he needs. It's more like what he needs to do, you know? Like,
exactly. He needed to do a lot of stuff things. For this to go smoothly. and then a breakup and 600 people dying.
I mean, it's mind-blowingly, like, frustrating. So bad. Like, Werner is so bad at relationships. He's bad with people in general. Like, forget girlfriends. Like, he just doesn't know how to do things.
I mean, can you wrap your mind around Kenji being better than him at this? Kenji the clown. Sorry, I love Kenji.
We love Kenji so much. I mean, he was so hilarious in this novel.
The scene with the people dying.
Yeah.
Or like that conference.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think the very last scene. It's so interesting that it was told from both Werner's and Kenji's perspectives.
You're so right.
And not Juliet's.
That's so true, because it's like a significant moment, not from Juliet's perspective, because we already know she's angry, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's more like Werner who screwed up, not Juliet, you know? Because it built it up. You know, like when you... I'm just going to take it from a normal perspective. Like, keep your wife happy, then the whole family is happy, you know? And when you keep something like... happy wife, happy life. Yeah. You know, like that sentence?
Or like in Heartless, where a happy king makes for a happy kingdom.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So it's like if you upset her and she's not human as well. Like, I mean, she's human, but she has superpowers. So she's like...
And she's temperamental. We know that. Exactly. Juliet is like all over the place, like all emotional, the time. So yeah.
Like, and she's not a stable human being, you know? Like she's gone through some things as well. So she's not the most reliable person on earth. Like there are mental problems that she has to deal with, you know? Yeah. And I think she hates being in the dark. She hates... when people don't actually believe that she has the potential to be a leader. And I think that was one of the many things that, like, drove her to the edge. And it all started with Castle and Werner.
Yeah.
And it just kept building up and building up and building up. And I think it's Castle was, like, the first... in the first couple pages, it was Castle who was, like, doubting her. And, like, and then it was Werner not telling her that the sons of the commanders are coming. And not preparing her.
What's wrong with him. And he's, like,
yes.
grieving his father. And
he's, like, in his own world completely. He doesn't even pay attention to what Juliet needs, you know. But, again, we can't be mad at him because he's going through something.
Yes, and that's all what he has been doing all along.
Yes.
Being what Juliet needs.
Yes, and yes.
He's now retreating a bit now that she has her place.
Yeah.
But yes,
and I think he wanted to give her space. He wanted her to learn how to do it on her own. He wanted... I think this was his way of getting her ready for becoming the Supreme Commander.
Not dictating her what to do,
you know? Like, yeah. I think that was kind of his technique, but it went down the drain.
But
like,
the thing is, yeah, it went down the drain. But, what I don't get, why does Werner think she's capable of being the Supreme Commander?
That's an interesting question.
I mean, don't see anything in her that would fit that job.
It's not lack
of
faith.
On the contrary, it's him that should be... I'm not being sexist or anything. I'm analyzing characters.
You're like, who's more fit for the job?
Yes, who's more fit for the job?
I know... Look, I think what you're saying is, like, the complete, the biggest solution to the problem. Like, Werner becomes...
Steps
in and becomes the Supreme Commander. Because he kept telling her, like, things like, you need to take it one by one. Like, you can't change everything all at once. Like, there was the scene where... it was the moment where she was taking a walk with Kenji and she said she doesn't want to be babysat by the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Werner kept telling her, like, you have to do that even though you don't need it because you have your own powers. You can protect yourself. It's like these rules and regulations, you can't just stop them from one day to another. And Werner knows how, like, he would know how to do it. So, but it would be very helpful to the soldiers, Werner had explained, if he would at least go through the motions. We rely on rules, regulations, and constant discipline in the military, and soldiers need a system upon which they depend at all times. Do this for them, he said. Maintain the pretense. We can't change everything all at once, love. It would be too disorienting. And I love how he's, like, aware of all that. And I think, like you said, Werner would be the perfect leader for the... But he's too damaged and too broken. And he's dealing with a lot of mental problems that he wouldn't be present. You know, he wouldn't be fully active. you know?
But I mean, he was always active. He was always aware of his surroundings, and he was always aware of his soldiers, even though he didn't believe in what he was doing. But now that he has something to believe in, why isn't he doing it?
I know, but there were these moments where he said, like, I never took naps in my life, and he took naps,
long baths,
and it's like he needed that, you know. If he was the supreme commander, he wouldn't be able to breathe, you know. Yes. He doesn't even eat. Yeah. Juliet even said she put a cookie. That moment was so funny. She put a cookie in front of him just to see what happens. He just thanked her and said like and ate the cookie with a fork and a knife. And then there was a line that said, when Kenji watched him eat that cookie, it made him want to cry. I was like dying from laughter when I read that. I was like,
Aaron is so weird.
He's so weird.
I love him. But I mean, let's go with my line of thought. If Aaron takes command, what would Juliet do? Just be the muscle?
In a fight? She wouldn't even be the muscle. I mean, I don't think she would be anything. I think she just would be the girlfriend of the Supreme Commander.
No, I don't like that. I think that from the beginning, we see Juliet doubting her role as Supreme Commander. Even when she was talking to Castle, then she was like indignant. Why do you think I'm not up to it? But then she started doubting herself. From that point, I started dreading what's to come. Like, this is going to be a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because Juliet wasn't prepared in any sense, you know? She didn't know what she was doing. She even went completely bananas when, what's his name, showed up?
Haider.
Showed up. She didn't know what to wear, you know? Like, she was, like, going crazy. Like, Kenji was like, just wear anything. What the hell's wrong with you? she kept saying, like, should I call Warner? Should I ask him what to wear? No, I don't need Warner. I can do it on my own. Wait, but maybe I should call him. You know, she was like,
because Warner knows how to dress.
I mean, in my head, I was like, yes, call Warner. Call Warner. He knows what to do. Like, please, just ask him what to do. And she's like, nope. I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need a man to tell me what to do. You know, she's like, sweetie, you do.
This time you do.
Yeah. Like, pick your moments. There are moments where you don't need a man, and there are moments where you need a man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of those moments. And I think it was just frustrating to watch that, you know, like, as a reader, you see the whole picture, you know, and for you, you can see what would help the character in this moment. And when they're not taking that action towards the thing that would actually help them, you go crazy, yes. You know?
Like, what do I do now? They're not doing what I want them to do.
Yes, exactly. It's like, should I just continue reading? Or just like, you know, one of the reasons, like, it took me very long time to finish this book. When it shouldn't have, you know? Because there were a lot of moments where I was very angry with the characters that I just needed a break, you know? They frustrated me so much that I just needed to focus on something else.
They confused me more than they frustrated me, so I kept on reading, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Eloa, I kept on wanting maybe when Warner and Castle would sit again, they would actually
talk about
what they're talking about. And every one of them is talking about something and thinking the other knows what they're
saying,
and we don't know anything.
We don't know anything.
Like, I mean, the way it was written, it's like we already know what they're talking about. Like, the background they're referring to.
It sounds like we're supposed to know what's happening, you know, but we don't.
We don't. And then I say, maybe that's how she wants us to, like, how she wants our curiosity. So she would answer that later when...
But she didn't even answer that.
No, she didn't.
She still, like, she answered it in Defy Me, I think.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about Defy Me here. That's for another episode entirely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about Nazira and Haider.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting to read, like, about Arabic characters when you're Arabian or Egyptian or whatever. I mean, and like, I'm wondering why she chose the, they're from Asia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she chose the Gulf accent, not the African or Egyptian accent. Yeah, that's exactly. Why I was... I just got that now. I mean, why are weird, they talking honey. In a Gulf accent? I mean, how would she know that an Egyptian reader would want to know that? And then they're from Asia, I mean... Anyway, okay, I think they were interesting. The idea of them speaking all their languages and...
Yeah.
Because I believe we need to learn the languages to communicate with, like, learn other languages, not just stick to ours.
I mean, Tahereh Mafi herself is Iranian-American.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, from...
Arabian roots, yeah.
Yeah, so she knows a lot of Arabic, and she knows, like... Even on her Instagram, she shares, like, things about her culture, and I, like... I'm always so interested in an author's like personal life, like what do they do and what does it, their like their surroundings, how does it inspire their writing, how do they incorporate it into their stories, and like I think that's like one of the glimpses like
I gathered till now about authors, they travel a lot.
I mean, they gotta do something with all that money.
I mean, and it's...
Why not travel?
True. I mean, they travel to some place so they can write, and they travel to some place so they get inspired, and they travel to some place...
I even, like, listened to another podcast, not the one I listened to, Sarah J. Maas's. There's another author that I listened to, and she was talking about how seriously she takes the locations in her novel.
Mm-hmm.
She always has to visit the location itself.
Wow.
So, for example, if she were to write a scene in Stonehenge or like another area in London or wherever she always needs to go to that place and see it for herself to be able to visualize it and write about it, you know. It's like that's one of amazing. The most insane things ever. And she talked about that she was on tour. I know we're going completely off topic.
This is interesting.
She was saying that she was on a tour for her novel. And she was writing a new one, and she was on tour with her husband. They finished the tour earlier than expected, because something, like, got canceled or something like that. So her agent told her, like, just go on a trip with your husband and do something together. And then she was like, she already knew that her husband would know, and he, like, she would take advantage of this... like free time of not going on like a romantic getaway, but they would go to like the locations she's writing about, you know. And I love the dedication.
Perfect, because on the other end, me as a reader, I want to visit the places I went to in books. I want to visit them in real life.
So exactly.
To visit them and see them so written true to their reality. Yeah. That would be...
Imagine, like, I've always wanted to do that, but it's such, like, hard work and needs a lot of money. And it's like, do we really need to do that? You know, like, I mean, as a reader later on, visiting those places might be interesting. But I mean, as an author, to pay all that money to go to that location just to write about it, it's very time consuming. Exactly. Just open Google Earth or Google Street View, something like that. Okay, let's get back to your story.
So, yeah. And it was interesting as well to, I mean, convey religion from... the Muslim religion, like Nazira wearing hijab or like the headscarf.
Yeah, but she wasn't wearing it all the time.
Like, yeah, she was wearing it just for a statement. She wasn't wearing it as in wearing it. Like,
right, as a like rebelling against the system.
Yes, the system that destroyed religion, which is also an interesting notion, because I think like life started with religion, like always there was the messengers and like,
I mean, religion was always part of life, you know. It's always there, it's always like a guidance for people, especially for people who are lost, who need purpose in life, you know.
Yeah.
And I think
to destroy that or ban that was like a warning to all the people. How are these people going to save us if they're going to take it like something that guides us, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, a whole part, like a whole identity that you're taking away. Like, this is part of a person's reality. Like, they live by these rules. Like, this is what makes them a person, you know? Yeah. And oh my God, imagine taking that away. I would be completely lost. Like, imagine not being allowed. It's like
you always need someone's rules to follow, but someone's rules are always flawed because they're humans. Yeah. You need the divine, I think, or whatever. I think, like, Tahereh Mafi in the previous, or in the original trilogy, she touched on the identity part with the literature and destroying all books, and that was so sad.
That was very, very heartbreaking. When I read about that, oh my God, so no Shakespeare, no
anything.
No anything.
No stories at all. And seeing Gurner, like,
holding on to one, like the
and like, it got bits, like, pieces. He was 10, he became 15 to me. Like, that took on another level.
Oh yeah, I really missed the original series. Yeah. I think, but I don't think I'm gonna read them again.
I read Restore Me, and it was,
I feel like I've grown out of them, you know? I feel like I was very young when I read them, and I feel like if I read them now, I'll see the flaws, I'll see the like, you things. I don't know, but
I fell in love with them again.
I don't think I want to go back to Adam and Juliet. Like, I think if I wanted to...
To be completely honest, I just read the parts with Werner from Shatter Me, Unravel Me, and Ignite Me. See? I just go to Werner.
I told
you. Because I know this is where she's going. Why go through the other stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
To be completely honest.
To be very honest with you. I love your honesty, Hanin. So, moving on to the next point, I think we can talk about Juliet getting shot.
Again.
In, like, I think in the middle of a novel, or maybe closer to the end. After her getting shot, I think that's like when things started to escalate, right?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
What I remember is that she went out with Kenji, Haidar, Nazira, and herself without any soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets shot. Nazira is the one who saves her, but the shooter who shot her is unknown. We don't know who it is. And I think they're irrelevant.
And I don't think we know even.
I think it's irrelevant. Yeah. I think just a common person, anyone who, maybe even a soldier from the sector. Someone who was like mad at her or something. Or maybe it's something,
someone from another reestablishment. I think the purpose of this
like
event,
it's an assassination.
Yeah.
Like, it's an assassin.
Yeah. That, like, Juliet met these new people with her guard up and knowing that she wouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
And I think that made her...
trust them even more.
Or trust Nazira specifically. And later on, Nazira would confide in her with her powers.
Yes.
And take her somewhere to talk and stuff. So that was, like, to build their arc, I think.
I think she even shifted from Werner to Nazira, right? Like... when she couldn't talk to Werner about her, what she was going through, I think she went to Nazira and talked with her about it.
Yeah. I think she needed a girlfriend, you know?
I think she needed a girlfriend, yeah. So that was like one important moment as well.
Okay. And then we go to revelations or secrets.
Secrets
and then revelations. Yes. Okay. So Werner has a secret.
Yeah.
And Castle has a secret.
Yeah.
And Castle and Werner share a secret. And Nazira has a secret.
Everyone has secrets, and that's why the kettle blew up. The kettle being Juliet. Yeah, I think what Castle's secret was something about the father.
That he knows about her parents. That they are from the reestablishment, and they donated her and her sister to the reestablishment.
To the cause. Yeah.
And I think he knows that they are Oshinia, the only ones who RSVP'd for the conference. And he confronted Eren about that.
In a very annoying way.
In a very annoying way, yes.
Wait, he didn't tell you? Tell me what? Wait, he didn't tell you? Tell me what?
Told him what?
Like, what was he trying to say? Just say it, God damn it.
Yeah, and Werner going into another cycle of mental disturbance about the secret and about how he job was to torture torture Emmeline. And then how is he going to tell Juliet?
Yeah, I think it's all related to his guilt. Yeah. You know, the guilt that he did that, the guilt that he didn't tell her, the guilt that he doesn't want to tell her. It's like all of that, like, feelings bottling up. And I think that was just prone for disaster. Mm. You know, like, of course that's going to happen, you know. Of course Juliet is going to be mad at you. Come on.
But not for to the extent of breakup.
But she did break up with him, didn't she? In a way. I mean, did she say, I want to break up with you? Like, did she say the words? I think she said
we're over
or something like something that. I don't know.
Yeah. And then he gets a panic attack. You know, as awful as it is, this is my best moment. My favorite moment in the book. No, the panic attack. The Kenji and Werner dealing with the panic attack.
I loved that scene so much. It was like laughing so hard. Yeah, the bromance, which isn't really a bromance. It's like a love-hate kind of thing.
Yeah, and how, like, Werner, the collected, though uncollected inside Werner, finally shows emotion outwardly, you know, in a panic attack.
Yeah, exactly.
It was...
Yeah, that was really funny. I think that, like, Kenji and Werner are, like, they don't match, but it's just funny when they're together, you know? Even that scene... No, we can't talk about that here yet. Yeah. That's defining.
And then, Kenji realizes that one of the girls who's coming was... Werner's ex.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And, like, he's giving a relationship advice. When he was never in a relationship. But I mean, he was perfect. Like, he wasn't telling him something wrong. I mean, he knows.
No, Kenji's one of those people who he would be perfect having his... Like, he doesn't have a relationship, but he has all the perfect advice for a relationship because he's ready to have a relationship.
He knows all
about
relationships, yes.
Yeah.
Like me.
Like you. Single. Single, ready to mingle. No, not ready to mingle. Why did I say that?
don't encourage me.
Never mind. Okay, moving on. of course, in this part of the book, we don't know anything about Emmeline and the sister of Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when I found that out for the very first time, I wasn't really shocked. Why wasn't I shocked? Because something like that had to happen, you know? You know, like, what else is gonna happen? I mean, yeah. I was still mind blown later on, like, no, oh my god, there's two of them! there's not just one, there's two!
I was so very scared from Emmeline. When I knew about her, I thought she was going to be the new villain. She was going to be the one who makes their life hell.
Oh my god,
hell.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
I was scared and I was waiting for her to show up with the other guys.
Something like that. Like,
or Werner takes Juliet to her and then something happens and Emmeline breaks out and, I don't know, she unleashes hell on them. Yeah,
you just reminded me, the first thought that I had when I heard about Emmeline, I was like, oh no, this is not good. Because imagine someone being tortured for that long of a time, even longer of a period than Ella, Juliet. I was like, this can't be good. Like, what kind of a person is she? Is she evil? Is she, like... exhausted? Is she almost dead? Is she already dead? Is she
she waiting for revenge?
I don't know. Even when we find her again, how broken is she? Is she even is she comprehending her surroundings? Like, is she, I don't know, like, you don't know what happens to people who are tortured, you know? They can turn out any way.
And
you
having Werner torture her, that would, I thought, I became scared for them, you know, Lola?
Yes.
It's, I mean,
so
what would
scary.
Happen? I was so scared that something would happen to Werner because of Emmeline, and that would be a whole new thing, and I didn't want that.
Okay, I think apart from Emmeline, I feel like Nazira is also a very significant character in the story, especially concerning Kenji, but I mean also on Juliet's side, that there's this kind of like friendship like taking place, or not like there's this seed, there's like this seed being planted, mm-hmm. you know, and it's gonna grow eventually in the future,
hopefully. Kenji.
For Kenji's sake,
we hope so. For Kenji, if Juliet doesn't like the girl Kenji goes with, so
yeah, and you know, what would be the dynamic,
yeah, you know?
Imagine Juliet hated Kenji's girlfriend. Wow. That would never work. So that is something very interesting. Even Nazira's powers, she can fly and she can make herself invisible.
Wow.
Plus, on top of that, she can carry someone, or she's very, like, powerful. I mean, like, strong, not powerful.
Not invincible, but, like, strong, yeah.
Okay, now I think is a perfect time to talk about Adam and Aaron. A.K.A. Warner. They both have, like, the same thing that they're going through, like, with their father, Anderson. Like, he died, and they both hated his gut.
Mm.
And, like, they just, like... And
he damaged each one of them in a different way.
Yeah, and I think the way they can bond over that is just so, like, perfect. But also, there's, like, this huge comparison between them, and I loved how Tahereh Mafi, like, focused on that. Like, they're still very different.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one paragraph in the story that was very interesting. I'm going to read it to you. So it says, "My ability to sense emotions and his ability to extinguish preternatural gifts had made for a strange pairing. I'd always been forced to conclude that he was devoid of all thought and feeling. It turns out he's quite a bit more emotionally adept than I'd expected. Vocal, too. But it's strange to see someone with my shared DNA speak so freely, to admit aloud his fears and shortcomings. It's too raw, like looking directly at the sun. I have to look away."
And that's the thing with Werner. He always shies away from his feelings.
Yes, exactly.
Wants to bury them and run away from them. And
it's like this comparison between them. And I even thought about, what does that say about Juliet? You know, dating two different people. Like, they're completely different.
She doesn't have a type.
Exactly. Like, having a type is overrated, guys, okay? Don't judge the book by its cover. Like, you need to get to know the person. The personality is what should be attractive, and not like
true.
Yeah, and I guess whatever goes with you, and I know, like, a lot of there are a lot of frustrations with Warner in their relationship that Juliet had to face, like the fact that he couldn't talk about anything.
Yeah.
And from Warner's side, he was so convinced that what he did was the right thing. Mm. You know.
Yeah.
And I think you can't be mad at someone, necessarily, who thinks, like, they're protecting someone. He protected her in the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, we can agree on that, but, you know, I don't know.
Not necessarily in the wrong way. Maybe he knows Juliet is, like...
Fragile,
and her emotions fluctuate easily and everything. Maybe he was... Maybe if they had time... What he was doing is the right thing.
Yeah.
We should think about that.
I mean, there was this other line that really broke my heart when I read it.
About whom?
About Anderson. He was talking about his father.
Mm-hmm.
"I hated him with a violent intensity I've never since experienced. But the fire of true hatred, I realize, cannot exist without the oxygen of affection. I would not hurt so much or hate so much if I did not care." You know? And it's like, Warner is still human, you know, mm-hmm. he still has feelings and emotions, and even though he doesn't want to, he gets attached to people, you know?
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Adorable way.
There's nothing wrong with that,
although, when I, like, this is at the very beginning of the book, and when I came to this part, I was like, isn't that over? Like, I felt...
Closure
towards Anderson. We got what we wanted. I didn't think about the repercussions of that, you know? And
I mean, it leaves scars. Like, losing your father, even though he was an evil person or, like, terrible to you, you still mourn the loss of that person. You know, he made you what you are today, and that's like will ever forever be a part of you, you know.
True.
Even though it was mostly bad, like that's most definitely like true, but yeah.
Yeah. The only one of the brothers who is damaged but indirectly by Anderson is James. I mean by the world Anderson created and his friends, not by Anderson being his father, you know.
I think the way Adam handled his brother is also not right. Like, he didn't tell him about anything. Not his father, not his brother, nothing. And I think living in ignorance is also not a good thing. Like, James, when he grows up and finds everything out, he will live hating Adam.
Yes. Adam is so overprotective. It will suffocate him.
Yes.
And James, I see potential in him. He's curious. He wants to know things. He's so mature about so many things.
Exactly. I think Adam underestimates his ability to handle, like, big news, you know? Like,
remember James' moments with Aaron when he asks him, like, straight, direct questions, and like Kenji would be shitting his pants, and everybody would be freezing, and everybody freezes. I mean, and then
it's Aaron, like, wait, did a kid just ask that?
And they were also still afraid of Werner, and wow,
that was interesting as well.
By the way, I feel like Adam would come into the picture later. Throughout the book, he was low-key and he doesn't want to do anything with anything.
Yeah.
But I think something will happen that would make him react or act. And exactly. I think that's something might do with James.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
That's true. Yeah, I think maybe...
The only thing that would move him now is
James. Yeah. Exactly.
And I don't know, we totally forgot about Adam since Ignite Me. I mean... We became so invested in Aaron.
Yeah, I mean,
but Adam as a character, not Juliet's lover, but as a character who's so much like Werner in ways, and
I mean, not, you know. I hate to say this, but Adam has become a little bit irrelevant. Like, he played his role, and it's over. You know, he's just like a side character, and I like that Tahereh Mafi's keeping it that way, because I think any other way, he wouldn't be interesting, I think, because... Mainly, he's Juliet's ex-boyfriend, and I think there's nothing to it, more to it, you know? I think that's it.
And now his role is to take care of James. Because Aaron can do... Aaron has a lot of baggage. He can do that.
Exactly. I remember... Oh my god, I remember there was this one line where Kenji said, I think I'm the only one who doesn't have daddy issues. Because Aaron has daddy issues, Adam has daddy issues, Juliet has a lot of daddy issues. You know,
it's mommy issues too.
Mommy issues too, yeah. And it was so hilarious that Kenji's the only one who's not completely broken. I mean, he did talk about his parents getting shot and like through like the whole racism thing and all that. And he was like, at the end of telling his story, he was like, I think I'm the only one who's not mentally scarred.
He's amazing.
For the rest of his life,
I think he's the one who borders on balance.
That's true. Yeah, like, that's so true.
He's
not
balanced. He borders towards balance.
All right, I think we can sign off now. I think we've pretty much... talked about everything.
If we forgot anything, tell us in the comments. Wherever you're listening or on our social media accounts.
Yeah. Okay. See you in the next episode.
See ya.
Bye.
I'm waving.
Yeah, she's waving, guys. Waving.
Thank you for making it till the end of this chapter. That was what we wanted to talk about in Restore Me. It will get less confusing in our Defy Me chapter, but that's not what's coming up next. For next time, we will be covering the second novel of the A Court of Thorns and Roses series, which is A Court of Mist and Fury. Let that sink in. Okay, we post every second Monday. My name is Haneen. Mark the page for chapter 11.